Oh, it's thick. It's thick in here. Yeah, in a minute.
So,
go ahead.
Nick said, do you have anything? And I'm like, not really. Because I'm not going to make it up. But I will say, Ezekiel 37. Yes, you started there.
I was going to read that.
You started there.
Not sure. Thank you.
You started there. And Matt, I don't remember if you shared this in church, or but at some point Matt was walking in Corona and he saw another church in town. He's like, I didn't know there's another church, and he just saw like a stump that looked dead, wasn't any life, but there were these sprouts coming up, sprouts of life. In some degree it looked dead, but there was life. So Psalm 37 says, and this is what I think David is declaring, the Lord is declaring, with the symbols of the angels and the mandate. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. It looked like death. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. So the signs of death, signs of no life, we are to prophesy. Surely I, God, wait a minute, I skip. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So say to the dry bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. People who look dead, people who don't look like they have life, I say to you, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely God will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Not because of anything you did, but because of his breath that's in you. Then you shall know, because I'm alive today, I know he is Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Signs of life, but obviously no life. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. And this is the point for us today, the very last few words. So they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Supernatural, breath of God is you. You were once the dry bones, and you are called to prophesy and to go after those people that don't know there's life in Christ Jesus. And that's the army. It's his breath. That's what we're going after. And I bet there's some grace message coming.
I bet you.
Amen.
There's an overwhelming thing that, try to get through this, that I'm feeling this morning, and it is that he wants to do so much more. His desire for what he is to us is so much more. So much more. Like, the Lord desires to give to us. So, and I believe that I'm tapping into what I'm preaching about, what I've been preaching about, is what's been holding us back. And I'm going to read some things this morning. I don't have a short message, so apologize before we get started. So we better get started. So let's just jump in. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. So the Israelites are in the wilderness, okay, and they're coming to the promised land, and Moses, God tells Moses, I want you to send spies into the land to go look in the promised land. I want you to pick one from each tribe, and I want you to go spy out this land, okay? And that's where the story picks up here in verse 1. Then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall send you a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them into the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and those were the names of the tribes of Reuben, this ought to be almost entertaining here if I read through this. So, I want you to... You think about the 12 tribes. These are the 12 kids of Jacob and then their descendants. And so he picked one from every tribe. Reuben, Zachar from Simon, Hori from Judah, Caleb from Issachar, Joseph from Ephraim, Nun, who, by the way, we'll come back to that. From Benjamin, Rephu, from the tribe of Zebulun, Zodi, from the tribe of Joseph, Susi, from the tribe of Dan, Gamali.
This is really entertaining.
All right. So anyways, all those guys went and checked it out, right? So these are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So that's the other one. If that's from Ephraim, the Nun up there. And Moses sent them out to spy on the land of Canaan and said unto them, get up this way southward and go into the mountain and see the land what that is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and when the land and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad, and what cities they are in and they dwell in, whether they're tents or are they strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat and lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring forth the fruit from the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin into Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where okay? And then they came unto the brook of Eshkon, and cut down from thence a branch that had a cluster of grapes on it. And they bare it between two of them on a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and the figs, and they to the place called Eshkah, because it's a cluster of grapes. They called the place Eshkah, because it was a cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation and the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Antioch there, the Amaleks dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in there, men of great stature, and there was, we saw giants, the son of Anak, which come from the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, so that we were in their sight also." So, I'm going to change over here. I want to point out that there was two reports, right? And there was men who brought an evil report. You all know I've been teaching about the law and grace. I got a hot mess up here right now. How many bad reports did they get back? How many people were on the bad report side? Huh? Ten. Are you kidding me? Why not nine? Why weren't there three guys that agreed? Why wouldn't there one agree in 9 or 11 that thought it was bad? There was two that thought it was good, and 10, the law. The law came back and said, what? We can't. We're weak. We're grasshoppers. What does the law do to us? It turns us into grasshoppers. Okay? The law, the Ten Commandments, the thing that we're supposed to be obeying, the thing that we're supposed to be living by, this holy, good law, turns us into grasshoppers in our minds. Is that bad? Well, let me tell you this. The law is good, but it cannot make you good. The law is holy, but it cannot make you holy. It can't. It is a tape measure that says you're a grasshopper. And you cannot go give grace to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You need to be a grasshopper. If you're in the world and you're not saved, the law is there to make you a grasshopper. It's there to tell you you are not worthy, that you don't measure up, that you are a tire fire, okay? That it's not, you're not good, and that you can't. You're not strong enough, and you can't. That's what the law tells you. And if you stay in the law right now, that's what the law will tell you today. But the minute that you transfer out from under the law and get under grace, you're no longer under this law. You cannot live as a grasshopper over here. You can't live with a grass. You can't have a grasshopper's mentality over here. You can't talk like a grasshopper over here. You can't pray like a grasshopper over here, because you're not a grasshopper over here. It changed. When the 10 came back and reported it's bad, two of them were saying, "But God said." Caleb and Joshua were saying, "I hear you, but God said not. I'm not a grasshopper. Surely we can go do this. Surely we must go up at once and possess this land." That's how a non-grasshopper talks. Do you think Caleb sinned less than the other 10 idiots? No. He was just as bad as them. If measured by the law, he should have seen himself as a grasshopper. You can't grovel at the feet of Jesus and God as a Christian under grace. Come boldly to the throne. You cannot come and pray as a grasshopper. "Lord, I don't deserve what I'm asking you for. I've been bad. I don't measure up. Would you please have mercy and grace on me and give me this thing that I'm asking for, even though I don't deserve it?" You can't pray like that. It won't work. Because he's saying, "Get up. Do you know what's been done for you? Do you know what grace actually does? It takes you out from under the law. You're no longer being measured. You're being measured by Jesus." It totally totally takes what you have done and what you're doing. Listen, I'm as guilty as the day is long. I've looked at people and said, man, if my grandma Ruth on Mindy's side can't get it, we're screwed. Because I don't think she's outwardly sinned for the last 30 years of her life in an action. Okay? She might have in her heart, I'm sure she had some sin somewhere, but I couldn't see any. And I would look at her and say, if it doesn't work for her, then it's not going to work. What am I doing? I'm putting her under the law. I'm putting me under the law. I'm measuring again. The only standard you can measure against with grace is Jesus, which is perfect. It's perfection. Righteousness comes by him. I am not a grasshopper because of him. Period. Not anything that I did good, not anything that I did bad, not anything that I do. It's all because of him, and he gave it to me. And it is believing that that makes you righteous and not a grasshopper. And all you, when you believe that only, then you're empowered by grace to be and have flow of what God is trying to get to you, because everything he's given to you flows through grace. And if we shut grace off at all, then we're not getting all he has for us. And I promise you, I am shutting grace off with law daily. All right? So, I was going to go on and read. I'm not even totally sure where I'm going here, but it goes on to say that God gets so mad at them that he says, I'm going to destroy them. He tells Moses, I cannot believe this. These people are wearing me out. This is God talking. These people are wearing me out. I am a cloud by day to shade them. I am a pillar of fire by night. I am feeding them through birds every day. Yes. And they just are wearing me out. He said, Moses, get Caleb, get Joshua. You guys get off the side. I'm killing everybody else. I'm starting over. Guess what happened? Moses says, you can't do that. Moses comes to God and tells God, you can't do that. It's the only place in the Bible you'll find this, where Moses goes and talks to God and says, you can't kill them. Do you know what people will say? If you wipe all them people out of here, they're going to say about you that you couldn't get them into the promised land and you brought them out here and you killed them. And God said, you're right, I forgive them. But they're not going to the promised land. Every person age 20 and over that grumbled or complained against me will not enter into this promised land. Okay? And they spent 40 years, 1 year, for every day that they spied that land and brought that evil report. The Bible says so much. For every day, there'll be a year that you will suffer and live in the wilderness. Does God want us to live in the wilderness? He doesn't. He's trying to get us to the promised land right now. And it is about believing in grace and not measuring by the law. The law says, it's not possible. We can't do it. You're grasshoppers. You're too weak. It doesn't work. That was an evil report. The good report was, I'm going to build a nation around Joshua who says, surely today we can go do it because God said so. Just because God said so. All right? All right. Turn over to Romans. I think that's next. Romans, before we go there, wouldn't you think that Caleb and Joshua, in my mind, I would have said, before I looked, I probably would have bet $20 on it, they came out of the line of Benjamin and Joseph. After what I've been preaching, I'd have said, oh, Caleb's got to be a Benjaminite, and after the whole Joseph and Benjamin and the Pharaoh story. But they didn't. They came out of Ephraim and Judah. Huh?
Yeah, that came out of Issachar.
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 All right.
And Ephraim is Joseph's.
This says Caleb came from Judah.
What's that? Caleb came from Judah. So yeah, they could have been from Santa Claus and all right. Anyways, so I asked the Lord about it. He's like, it doesn't matter what tribe you're from. It matters what you believe. I honor people who believe me. It doesn't matter what tribe you're from. It matters what you believe. Romans, chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. Very unorganized here. All right, Romans chapter 20. Sorry. I did. Right. Romans 5, chapter, or verse 20. All right, here we are. I'm here. The law was brought in so that trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. The law increases sin. The law makes you want to sin. We know this, right? So, wherever sin is, grace abounds that much more. Go to Galatians chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, verse 1. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit that are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take one example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that one has duly established, so it is in the case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For the inheritance depends on the law, then it is no longer depends on the promise. But God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed of the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if the law had been given, if there would have been a law given that could impart life, then righteousness would have certainly come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin so that what was promised being given through the faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Last, before the coming of faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith was to come, would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified through faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all who you were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female. For all of you are in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. What's our promise? What's the promise? Do you remember when I read in Galatians about there's two covenants? There's an old covenant and there's a new covenant. And Hagar represents this old covenant and Sarah represented the new covenant. There was a covenant of law and a covenant of grace. And it goes on to say that there's a covenant of law and then Sarah represented promise. When you see promise, you have to see grace. So, because a promise comes by grace. So when the Bible talks about law and the old covenant, it is the old way, which means you have to earn it. You have to do. You have to follow the law. And you have to get right with God. And you do that by action and through a covenant. But the promise is that you get freed from all that. And you're no longer being measured by God. You're no longer under this law, but you're under this new grace. And your identity becomes in somebody, not you, but into Jesus. And you literally identify through Him and are identified by God through Him. That's the promise of grace, where we're no longer being measured. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? You who were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. The best I can tell by studying Galatians, there was a group of people who were saying, we're okay with your new message. We're okay with your Jesus thing. We're okay with this grace message. The only thing is, you should still be circumcised. Okay? That's it. Do what you're doing. We agree with everything. Just get baptized. Just get circumcised. Just this little piece. You just need this little piece. Why don't you just keep this just keep this circumcision? And then this will work. Okay? Paul is like, you've got to be kidding me. You cannot mix this. You cannot mix law and grace. She's fine, by the way. Or he is. Huh? Huh? A little leaven does what? Leaven's the whole lump. You cannot mix a little bit. You cannot put a little bit of dog poop in a pan of brownies. Amen. You should. Yes.
Really?
Yes. You cannot mix them. And he's saying that. He's saying a little bit of law ruins the whole loaf. Ruins grace. A little bit of law ruins grace. I guarantee you we have law in us. I guarantee you that Lord, that God wants to flow. Whenever you talk about grace, it flows. It flows like wine, David. Grace flows. I have one other thing here I want to show you. I never knew this. This is awesome. Go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 37. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skin, and the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. I never got that before. Never known what that meant my whole life. You can't dump grace into the law. It'll burst the container. You can't have a container of law and pour grace into it. It'll break it. The two cannot co-inhabit together. They can't be in the same. You can't mix them. They're not mixable. I'm trying to square this in my life. I'm being honest with you. I'm trying to square this in my life. I don't know if you were here when I preached about the 5-5-6. It was like the Lord's like, you're just not getting all of it. You're seeing 5-5-6 all the time. I was trying to see 5-5-5, by the way. I was at the fair. It was my job to rank all of the kids I was in the pig show. I'm on the swine committee, and pigs come in, they place them 6th, 5th, 4th, and my job was to go behind them and write down, you know, this kid was in this spot, this kid was in this spot. I was halfway through the show, and I write down number 5, and I look up at the kid, and I'm looking at him, he's turning around, and I got to see his number on his back, he turns around, he's number 55 in the 5th hole. That poor kid, for prophecy's sake, got 5th place. he might have the grand champion pig, I don't know. So anyways, I'm trying to square this in my own life. You cannot mix grace and law. They cannot cohabit together. You can't have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You can't have a little bit and a lot. You can't mix them. Grace in that container breaks it. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1, Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is what I was talking about. God declared an oath, and they will never enter into that promised land. I love when the Old Testament teaches about the New Testament teaches about the Old Testament. Bible interprets Bible. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter into my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as a passage already quoted. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. There remains then a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. Did it stop sometime between when this is written and right now? Does anybody know if that order got canceled between when it was written and today? Anybody? No? Then there remains right now a Sabbath day rest for us right now. That God is saying, just like he did in the Old Testament, go spy out the land and bring me a report and be Caleb about what he wants to give us and what he wants to do with us. What David stood up here and said, don't give a bad report. Believe the word of the Lord. It's free. It's grace. It's a free gift. For anyone who enters God's rest rests also from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Do you know what the disobedience was? Unbelief. A bad report. Speaking against the promises of God, against grace. I'll be honest. I don't fully understand what I taught you this morning. But I fully understand that I fully don't understand grace and rest and what he wants to do. The message this morning is you can't mix them. They're not mixable. Now you go back to the bondwoman and her son, and God said, cast them out. The bondwoman's son persecuting the son of grace, cast him out and her and separate them. They will not inherit my promises. I don't know what all this means. I'm expecting that somebody here will hear the Holy Spirit and this will become something that starts churning and revealing to us what is it that you're trying to get to us. And I don't know how to work. I don't know how to walk it out. I don't know how to go 100% grace. I don't know. I know this. The law in us is preventing flow to us. That's what I know. I don't know what to do about that yet. I'm working on it. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for all of your attributes and all the things. And Lord, we thank you that what you're trying to get to us, Lord, help us get into a place of understanding who you are and what it is that you want to do through us, because that's what we want. We thank you for it. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dismissed.